Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Appreciate the spirit of God-given liberty this morning. I wasn't sure which way to go. It led me into this last night, and I kept questioning God, does that mean you don't want me to preach the next beatitude? Because, boy, I've been wanting to preach it. When I woke up, I knew sure as I was breathing that we need this word right now. We need it right now. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's them three words again. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you.
Yeah, right.
But you are washed.
Praise God.
But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Father, thank you for your word. Open this to our hearts and to that soul that needs Jesus right now. Give them, as only you can give them, the invitation. May their heart be open, their mind be now clear, as they know themselves to be without you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When you look at them first two verses, amen, you think, boy, this is a downer right here. We've got to hear about sin again. Let me tell you something. The remembrance of sin is what excites me.
Yes. Bless
you. You say, what are you talking? Because I am no longer bound by it.
Right. Amen.
Amen. One said it like this, well, if I could just forget my sin. Let me tell you something. If you ever forgot about sin, you might go back to it.
Yeah.
But thank God for the remembrance of the awfulness of that place, the blackness of my heart, the place where I was destitute and without God. Amen. Thank God there's a remembrance of sin in my mind. I'll lose that memory one day when I cross into glory and sin is no longer. But there's a remembrance to me that there is a corruption in this world. There is an evil in this world, and I don't want to be a part of it anymore.
Amen.
I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm not what I was used to be. Amen. I'm not maybe what I ought to be yet, but he's still working on me. Amen. I'm not what I was. And if you are what you were, you're not his yet.
Amen.
You have to be born again. All he goes through, these 10 sinful things, all they're nasty things to talk about. But I want to tell you what they are this morning. As quickly as I can, I'm simply going to give you a definition of each one of them to make sure that you remember. That you remember, that you never forget the blackness of sin, the hurtfulness of sin, the wickedness of sin, the awfulness of sin. It ought to make us sick when we think about sin. It ought to drive our hearts to a place that we cry out unto God in great thanksgiving because he has redeemed me from sin.
Amen.
Oh, I'm glad that he saved me, delivered me from it. You said, you speak with God. It ain't in me.
Right. Amen.
But there's one living in me that does not put up with sin.
Right. Amen.
You can live in sin, brother. Something's wrong with you.
Right.
Something's wrong. If your life is not patterned by a lifestyle that is different, you may not be different.
Yeah, bless you, Lord.
The world wants you to believe that just any old thing is going. Not true. The righteous are the only ones that get to go to heaven. What did it say? Verse number 9, what did it say? It says that the kingdom of heaven, there shall no unrighteousness inherit it. None. That's pretty clear.
Right.
You can't water that. They water it down every day. But it says what it says, and it means what it says, and it is what it says. If you're unrighteous, if you've never been born again, you will not go to heaven. You can't.
Right. Amen.
Thank God heaven will not have any of that there.
Amen.
None.
Amen.
No sin will be in heaven.
Amen.
Pure. Holy. Undefiled.
Amen.
Anything that is sin that ever stands before my God will disappear. It cannot stand in the presence of my God.
Amen.
He is holy, and everything around him is holy.
Amen.
There will be no unrighteousness in heaven. You can tell me all day long that you're going to heaven, but if you live for the devil, you ain't been born again.
Amen. Bless you, Lord.
Those that have been saved by the grace of God have a pattern, a lifestyle, a change that has occurred in them, and they cannot undo the change.
Right.
I am not perfect.
Right.
I am woefully aware of this truth. My enemy is what I look at in the mirror. But thanks be to God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am not a victim to my flesh. I am the victor. The flesh must subject unto the spirit that abides in me. Period.
Yep.
There is no unrighteousness going to heaven. Don't be deceived. If you have not been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and made a new creature, you are not going to heaven. There is a judgment coming for the wicked.
Amen.
They will be judged. They'll stand before God on that great day. And the books will be opened. Every single work examined, not one will escape his judgment.
Right.
Every deed done in the flesh, it says, will be judged. There is a pattern for the children of God today. A lifestyle that emulates an upward rising. If you were to graph it, it'd be kind of a bumpy ride. But it's going up, not down. Don't be deceived. If your heart longs for this world, it is not of God yet.
Amen. Amen. Bless you.
I can't make my flesh long for God. He was clear that my flesh will always be enmity against God. But there is something in me that has made me a new creature. And it desires the things of God. I can no longer live in the sin that I used to live in. How come? Because I am not the same man. I've been born again, made a new creature through the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't love the same things. I cannot. You can try, but it will make you sick. You cannot love the world that you used to love. No, not once you've been made a child of the King. Don't be deceived this morning. There will be no unrighteousness in heaven. None. I want to deal with the first four together, as I believe they're the plague of our society right now. I believe the first four of these, one is inserted in that first five, but I'm going to take them as four, and I'll deal with that one separately. But I'm going to take number one, fornicators. Number two, adulterers. Number three, effeminate. And number four, abusers of themselves with mankind. Those four violate the seventh commandment of God. It's right up here. If you want to read it, it's in Exodus 20. If you want to read it, it violates. These four are the plague of our culture today. We live in a time where fornication is celebrated, magnified, glorified. We have so degraded the sanctimonial power within marriage. We have degraded everything that it is due, and yet we find that every time you turn on a TV, every time you listen to a song, what you hear is the nonchalance concerning fornication, sexual immorality, and unwillingness to abide by the word of God. Let me say to you today, it is the plague of this country. It is the plague of this world. Amen. And it will cause society as we know it to crumble. We're no different than the Romans. We're no different than the Greeks. They fail because of the sexual immorality, and so will we if we don't repent and turn from those godly ways. And brother, the only way people will repent is if they hear the truth. And the truth is, any kind of sexual activity before you are married is sin in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Period. I don't care how they glorify it. I don't care how they justify it. It is wrong. It has always been wrong. It was wrong when it was me. It's wrong with you. It's wrong. And a child of God won't stay in that place. They'll get their whipping, they'll be chastened, and He'll bring them out of that, because the lifestyle is not downward, it is upward with Christ. Or you're not His. Don't be deceived concerning this. Fornication. Number two, adulterers. Certainly, we live in a culture today where it seems the sanctity of human marriage established by God means nothing. People will wreck a home just as quick as they will anything else in their life. It doesn't mean anything to them. They just as soon have a sexual activity with somebody that's married as they would not. May I say to you today, it violates the commandment of God. It was wrong with Adam and Eve. It is wrong today, and it will always be wrong.
Amen.
You can't look me in the eye and tell me whether it was right for me. God led me to that woman. I defy your doctrine. Don't you ever drag God into your sin. Amen. God is not the one that tempts man of sin. He's not the one to bring you down because of sin. If you've fallen because of sin, it's because of the hardness of your own heart. Thank God that leads you out of marriage. It ain't. The best thing we can do is be honest about it.
Right. Amen.
You can't unbreak eggs. I get that. Amen. The water's gone under the bridge. You can't make that go back. And bless God, if you're in a situation, amen, that was questionable, you got to line up with God and go forward. Yeah. Amen, you can't redo the past. But let me be clear, that don't change anything concerning the Word of God just because it was you. Yep. Don't make it right. It don't justify it. It never will. It cannot. God's Word don't change. Not for me, not for you.
Amen.
No unrighteousness in heaven. None. The sexually immoral, fornicators, the adulterers. And then he goes on to speak concerning the homosexual activity that's rampant in this land. The homosexual activity, the effeminate, those abusers of themselves with mankind. Clearly, speaking of sodomites, sodomy, things that oughtn't be heard of. And yet it's rampant in this land, and there's an expectation by our godless culture for you to accept it as normal. It is not normal. It is a deviation from the Word of God. Sexual friends activity between the bonds of a marriage is honorable before God according to Hebrews 13:4, and it always will be. But you depart the bonds of the holy matrimony, and friend, you have stepped into what is sinful and will bring a nation to its knees.
Amen.
Say, how do you know? History proves itself. Do the work. Study it yourself. Out of every civilization of mankind that has failed, basically nothing left of them but ruins. What you'll find at the peak, at the pinnacle of their enlightenment, was sexual revolution. And ultimately homosexuality. And it brought them to their demise. Period. The more this country grows used to homosexual activity, the more it will wander from the mandates of God, and the more their hearts will receive the punishment, the judgment of God, as He turns them over to their reprobate minds to do unto themselves that which is unseemly between them. An atrocity, amen. And yet here we are, plunged right in the middle of it, and yet He has asked us to be salt and light to this world. Truth, they don't want to hear it, amen. But if they know you're a Christian, they know where you stand. You have got to be firm on the God that serves, and amen, the God that delivers. Those four violate commandment number 7. I'm going to bring in number 2 now, which was idolaters. Idolatry violates commandment number 1 and 2. Specifically, thou shalt not have any other gods before you. Amen. And yet we have a culture. It may not be a Greek culture in which there was a God for everything coming and going. A ridiculous thing that as Paul stood there on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, he marveled at all of the gods they were serving. And it troubled his spirit, troubled him within his very guts. And he had to say something, and he declared unto them, I know the God that this one is meant to serve, the unknown God, the one that is meant to cover everything you haven't covered with all of these other gods that aren't gods. I want to tell you about Him. He is the only God. Idolaters will not be in heaven. If you go to heaven, you will do so believing in one single God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, those three are one. And that, my friend, is the only God that exists. Idolaters will not go to heaven. We find next thieves. I want to put thieves and extortioners together, for both of those violate commandment number 8. Thieves, we know what they do. As Paul was writing to the Corinthians here, there was no question. They understood thievery. They understood what it meant for a man to take something that was not his and claim it as his own. Thieves will not be in heaven. You say, preacher, that rules me out. I stole a piece of gum one time. I'm going back now because I want to make sure you understand what I'm talking about. I've stole some things myself too, but there is a difference in me now than was then. There is something in me that tells me when I do such a thing that it is wrong and I must repent. And repent means I turn from that sin and I go another way. If you're a child of God today, you can't live in a thieves' lifestyle. extortioners, those that would wrongly excise money from someone else because of their power or influence. It's done every day in this culture. Men of power or influence or authority do whatever they want to do, seemingly. What Jesus said, what the apostle wrote here, was that thieves and extortioners will not be in heaven. Don't be deceived. If your life is patterned by a lifestyle of greed and hunger for the things of this world, you better check and see who your God is. Because if your hunger, if your greatest desire is one built off the wealth of this world and the greed of what this world can give you, brother, you're following the God of this world, not the God who made it.
Right. Amen.
Don't be deceived. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Thieves and extortioners will not be there. Revilers. Revilers violating clearly commandment number 9. Revilers to speak abusively. To speak without control. To speak in an attempt to attack another. Whether it be their good behavior or their good lifestyle or their good testimony, whatever it is, talking behind their back, backbiting, whispering, murmuring, all of these things can be thrown into that same category as a reviler, and it violates the commandment of God in number 9, and it ought to be forsaken by all those that claim Jesus as their Lord. Last, and we'll put these two together, covetous and drunkards. Covetous, certainly wrongly desirous of wealth or greedy. Amen. Very similar to those of the extortioner who's trying to gain of something that is not theirs, but specifically the covetous is a condition of the heart. And friend, if your heart is bent on the things of this world, you are violating the law of God. If you find yourself coveting the things of this world more than the things of God, you need to check your condition. The child of God that has been made a new creature in Christ Jesus will covet but one thing, and that is the things that are of Him. Everything else, if it comes to the flesh, yes, the flesh longs after it. But if you've been born again of the Spirit, you are a new creature in Christ. Amen. You're not the same. Drunkards, this certainly would involve any uncontrolled appetite for something that intoxicates one's flesh. He was clear, drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, said all that to say this.
Right.
And such were some of you.
Right. Amen.
The tense is very important in this.
Yes.
Amen. The tense of a verb is always important. Right? You don't understand the context of a statement until you understand the action of it. Whether it's past, present, or future. And what he said was, and such were some of you. Let me go back down the list just so you reminded. Amen. Some of you were fornicators. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you may have been homosexual. Some of you may have been thieves or covetous or extortioners or idolaters or revilers. Some of you could have been drunkards or abusers of the things of this world. May I say to you, you were
right.
That.
Amen. Yeah, bless you, Lord.
What I was does not define who I am, or does it declare where I'm going.
Right.
What I am does. See, there's a difference between past and present. He said, and some of you were such as these things. But oh, may I say to you, the marvelous power of the grace of my God.
Amen.
He can pull the darkest, blackest, vilest sinner that has ever lived or breathed on this earth. He can raise them up out of the pits of that awful place and make them a new creature. He can take the man that despised and hated and cursed God and turn him into somebody that'll praise God for the rest of his born day. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
And such was I.
Right.
That was sometime like this.
Yes.
Could have been any one of these or all of them put together. But.
Yes.
But something happened to me.
Amen.
According to the word of God, he said, I got washed. But he said, you were washed. I believe he's confident in this very truth.
Amen.
Yeah, he said, I know some of you. I've heard your testimonies. I know where your secrets have been. I know them dark things. He said, I know some of you were. Some of these very. He said, but you are washed. He was referring clearly, I believe, to baptism, but more than that, he was referring to having been washed free of sin. He was talking about being washed by the blood and the water, cleansed by the power of the forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. I was once those things, but I ain't that anymore.
Amen.
How do you know? Because I got washed. And when he washed me, according to Isaiah, he made me clean as wool, white as snow, pure inside, unrighteous, no. When I got born again, I was washed and made clean. You were sometimes those things. And I've done told you, don't dread the memory of your past. It ought to bring you to shouting before it's over. Huh? Because you are now washed. You ain't what you used to be, and you know it.
Amen.
You wouldn't know it if you forgot it. Them old dead, wicked, vile memories. Them things you did, them things you said, right? Oh, how they shame us when we think in our mind that wretched stuff we did, those awful things that violated the word of God. But oh, may I say to you today that the remembrance of those things makes the blood of Christ valid. It makes it whole. It makes it vivid. It reminds me that what Jesus did was to set me free of that. Set me free. He said, but you're not what you used to be. No, he said, you're washed. You've been purified by the saving power of Jesus Christ. The effectual and propitiatory blood that was poured out at Calvary for you. That set you free. And made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, he said, sometimes... He said, there was a time when you were these things. He said, oh, but not now. But now, he said, you are washed. But ye are sanctified. 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 You say, where in the world can sanctification come from? May I say to you, sanctification within itself is a process. That up and down climbing, right? Where you fall and get up and then stand and go and you fall and get up and you keep going by grace and the forgiveness and repentance unto God. That is sanctification. But may I say to you today that what was born again that day in Jesus Christ, it received the righteousness of Jesus that very moment. The very thing that makes me get up is what is perfect on the inner man.
Right, amen.
Because he's greater than the outer man. The inner man received the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. I traded my wickedness for the righteousness of Christ himself. If that ain't enough just to worship him and thank him for the rest of our days, amen. Just knowing that I have received the righteousness of Christ. There is no unrighteousness within the child. How do you know? Because the scripture said, I was born again of incorruptible seed. It cannot be corrupted. And you better thank God every day for that business. He said, that which I have committed unto him, who's able to keep it? He is able to keep against that day. I'm saved because of Jesus. I'm kept because of Jesus. I'm going because of Jesus. Because of him. He said, you're washed. He said, you're sanctified. And then what did he say? You are justified. Well, I love how they had to term that one, just as if I'd never sinned. Oh my goodness, you were once those things. You were once those wicked, vile, corrupt things. But now you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because you have been washed and sanctified and justified by the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. For those today that believe that being born again is a license to sin, they don't understand being born again.
Amen.
You ever get born again, you are new.
Right.
The things you once loved, you no longer love. But if you still love those things, if the inner man, if that is still their desire, you better check. Because it is most likely you have never been saved. You're on a new course when you come to Christ. Oh, how the world is confused about this. Come get a song. They think that religion is about turning over a new leaf. Religion is nothing but a new chapter in one's life in which, as it is penned, one will do the best they can to make it. If you're still trusting in yourself to make it, you are not saved. Because the realization that I could never make it is what had to occur for me to ever be born again. To call on Christ in the depravity of my sin, recognizing and admitting that I was the sinner, was as key to being saved as the gospel news itself. The knowledge of that sin is important. Right? I know how it is.
Yep.
Those periods where it's just you and your frail mind.
Yep.
It likes to go back, don't it? It likes to dig up all them old bones. And all that filth, nastiness, wickedness. We were all there once. But I am no longer that man. I'm not perfect. But there is a steady climb. Evident. Is it evident in your life? Is that trajectory going toward Christ? I just can't seem to get it done. If it's about you again, you may not ever been truly saved. You ever get born again, what you'll recognize is every time you fail, there'll be something on the inside of you that'll bring you low. It'll bring you to that place where your soul cries out in repentance and you say, I'm sorry, God. I know better. And I turn. And the Holy Spirit of God will get in you and under you and through you. And He'll lift you up. And He'll put you back in that path that leads to heaven. Ultimately, one day, I'm going to leave this world if he don't come first. My flesh is going to expire. And my final hindrance will have been dealt with. They're going to toss that thing in a box. And if we're still living, right, you might get to see that. They're going to put it in a box. And when the last song sung and the preacher says amen, they're going to close the lid on that old man that has the scars of what he used to be. You can't erase scars, you see. They are constant reminders of a day of your life that was painful. They're there. We got them. We got them. We still remember them. The accuser tries to bring you down with them. Oh, but in Christ, you see, I can say, get behind me, Satan, because I once was that, but I am not that anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. They're going to put that old thing in the ground. That will never hinder me again. And then the Lord's going to come back. And the Bible said them old graves are going to burst open. And what comes out of that box they put it in won't be the same either.
Right. Amen.
He will have received then a glorified body, one fit to live forever in. The apostle said it like he said, we don't know just what we'll be like. He said, but I know we'll be like him. Glorified body. Yeah, what I get to dwell in eternally will be glorified. What the apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, remember that part where he said that the corruptible, well, when it comes out, he said it's incorruptible. He said what was mortal will be immortal. When that body comes from the ground to be joined with my spirit, with Christ, amen, when those two come together, and so what the scripture said, shall we ever be with the Lord? I'm going to heaven. Are you? Are you going to heaven? You say, preacher, how can I know? Look at your life. Look at your life. Your lifestyle is the testimony you need to see whether or not you're a follower of Christ or a follower of the devil. All you need is look at your life. Come out from among them. Be a separate people. You will if you're born again. You will. As we stand and sing. Invitation is simple today. Are you tired of sin? You know you're a sinner. Amen. Don't think you're the Lone Ranger. Everybody you're around, every one of us were once there. We were once just like you. But Christ came and redeemed us from that condition. That's what being born again is all about. Made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Stand with us. If you're here today and need Him, invitation is to bow wherever you're at. Bow your heart and cry out unto God to save you.